The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
How are you?
How are you today?
I'm good.
Good. This case is actually, I think, going to spark something in you because I don't want to give it away, but when I get to the end, I think if you don't get it in the beginning, you're definitely going to get it in the end. And I think you're going to be mind blown in some type of way.
So I actually know the name when you texted me it.
Okay.
And it's only because whenever anyone talks about Jennifer Kessie, this name comes up.
Okay. So that was the it piece that I was talking about that I thought was going to be. If you didn't catch it in the beginning, at the end, you would have been like, oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah, no, that's the only reason I know the name, but it comes up a lot when you talk about Jennifer Kessie. So go ahead.
I didn't know that though. So I thought this was very interesting. Like when I went to pop her name in Google and I saw Jennifer Kessie coming up, I'm like, why? I don't even understand. And then I neglected to read those articles first and I was just on my mission to get the information about this case, and it wasn't until the end I was like, oh, I see now.
So go ahead. Who are we talking about today?
So we're talking about Tracy Ocasio. Now, I want to preface this with I started to research it, and there was quite a bit of detail on the Charlie Project. And what I mean by that is like enough detail where I can get an understanding of what happened before, a little bit about a person, and some really good detail. And I'm like, there's definitely probably stuff out there.
Perfect.
What happened was, though, I got what I felt was like very surface level information. But I was like, I'm still going to do it because I feel like this is enough information for me to give our listeners some context as to what happened. And then I came across, as I always do at the end, one of these days I'm going to start and discover there's a disappeared episode first. One of these days.
I like it at the end, too. That's where I typically, I either do it at the very beginning with never having read one thing or at the end. And either way, I don't take notes and use it as a reference. I use it as remembering what the family was saying and all of that. Like, I don't go back to find quotes from it or any of that. It's just, I use it as like the, get the feeling of the person.
And you know what? Right. Inevitably, I appreciate that I do actually happen to listen to it last because, you know, while it is a reference, it gets quotes from the family a lot of the times. I choose not to use this one thing in this one perspective as all of the information that's out there because, you know, also things come up after a disappeared episode is aired. The show no longer airs new episodes, so it definitely doesn't revisit these things, you know?
For sure.
Anyway, that is what happened. I will say that the news articles gave pretty bare fact information, like last seen where, with who, if you have any information type of thing. So I was thankful to have come across it, and it gave me context on who this young woman was. So in addition to that, this case was from a request list. And as listed, a Kelly and another Kelly recommended this case. So I thought that was kind of funny. But Kelly and Kelly, thank you very much. And I'm going to tell you about Tracy. Okay, so Tracy was born on August 10th of 1981. Her parents are Joe and Elizabeth. They may or may not have at least one other child. I'm not sure. They said a name in the disappeared episode, and I was like, maybe they're referring to another child, but I'm not really sure. The family lived in Virginia until Joe's job, transferred him to Florida before Tracy completed high school. They settled in Ocoee. The transition was not easy for Tracy, as she didn't have her friends. School was different, and she would need additional classes or additional credits to be able to graduate. So it was very overwhelming for her. As someone who's nearing the end of their high school career and has everybody she's really ever known all her life, I assume, if she's lived in Virginia her whole life, and then going someplace different and having to basically jump in on already established friendships. It's scary. It's anxiety provoking. All of the things. Unfortunately, Tracy decided to leave school and she started working. However, she did exactly that. You know, she did what she had to do. It sounded like her parents, I imagine they were anxious or scared for their daughter when this happened. At the same time, from them, I kind of hear we were still very optimistic and hopeful that she would find her way, whatever it was. I don't know that's how it really felt for them, but that's what it felt like when I was hearing them talk about it. Tracy dated and eventually got engaged, but it didn't work out. So Tracy ended the relationship. Tracy was, I think, sad, but not overly heartbroken. Not like couldn't get out of bed or anything. And a friend had said it sounded like he was probably more upset than she was. Tracy went on to experience the single life and figure out what she wanted to do, where she wanted to work. Did she want to find her career, passions, goals? She also was very skilled and gifted when it came to making jewelry. So was she going to make that her job as well? My understanding is that she was so good at her hobby that she was able to sell some pieces online. So she wasn't doing too bad. Tracy was described as outgoing. She could be loud, fun, and she could be confrontational if you challenged her. And I'll get into that a little bit later. On May 26th of 2009... Tracy went out to one of her familiar hangouts. She wanted to catch a basketball team she loved and followed closely. Tracy was deeply invested in basketball, a pastime she shared with her dad. They would often go to games together, and he described her as loud, into the game, and pretty boisterous. It's not out of the ordinary for her to go out alone and catch a game. Plus, there were regulars at this place, so she was pretty familiar with everybody. At the time of Tracy's disappearance, she was living at home comfortably. Her mom states that, you know, they had a good relationship. She didn't pay rent. She was pretty respectful for the most part of letting people know where she was. So she was looking, like I said, into community colleges or furthering her education and got along with both parents, not just her mom. So as I was saying, that night, Tracy is excited. She's at the Florida Tap Room, a bar restaurant, and she's mingling as usual. She's excited. She's energetic. I think her team even won that night, if I'm not mistaken. So she was like over the moon. At around 1:30, she decides to leave and she's asked by a man for a ride home, which she does oblige. Early in the morning, Tracy's mom, Elizabeth, realizes that Tracy isn't home. And she calls her, but she kind of expectedly is like, I didn't get an answer. I kind of knew I wasn't going to. She's probably sleeping. She probably crashed at a friend's house. Maybe she drank and didn't feel safe to drive. Great. I mean, if I was a parent, that's exactly what I'd be hoping. And I am a parent.
Exactly.
So that is what I would hope. At this time, Joe was on a business trip. So he's not here. He doesn't know anything that's going on. Later that morning, Tracy's mom tries again to call Tracy. And she gets no answer. I think she's a little bit perturbed at this point, but it doesn't sound like she's at the point of, you know, she's freaking out or she's worried. As a teenager, she wasn't always great about checking in. At the same time, you know, that was kind of her thing as an adult. Tracy's mom starts calling friends to no conclusion about where Tracy is. And later that day, she finally is talking with her husband and she has to tell him. So she explains what happens, and they both decide that they're going to file a missing persons report. But not before they're contacted by the police asking if they were Tracy, as she opens the conversation to police. And she's like, no, I'm not Tracy, but I am looking for her. So they went on to say that they found Tracy's car, and it was parked. And it was kind of up on someone's property, and the property owners were upset about this, and they basically just wanted the car moved. And that's how they were able to determine that it was Tracy's car and who to contact. And now it's kind of like, all right, she's not with her car. We can't find her. This is problematic.
Right.
So police begin to investigate. They were really, you know, it was very easy for police to follow Tracy's steps at this point. I mean, it wasn't terribly long after the disappearance. They knew where Tracy last was, and they were able to determine who the last person was with Tracy. Thank you to good surveillance and surveillance that was kept and surveillance that was working. And it was determined that Tracy was seen leaving with a man that they were able to find his identity, and it was James Hathaway. When they found James, he initially was cooperative and he was like, yeah, I was with her. I asked her for a ride home. She said she would bring me home and she drove me. When they got to his home, they spoke for a few minutes while she was parked outside his house before they parted ways and hadn't seen each other before, had no relationship before, and didn't see each other after. And his story seemed kind of legit. And they started looking in several other places, too. When they talked with friends and family, there was a situation that police became aware of in where Tracy had kind of a confrontation semi-recently with a man and a woman. When the woman was at the bar, she was giving what Tracy was calling dirty looks to her, to which she did try to fairly ignore. And then there became a point where she couldn't ignore it anymore. And she confronted the woman and she got into quite an argument with the man and the woman. And it did not go down well. Police were like, well, maybe this is a suspect. They have a motive. They know where she frequents. It sounds to me like it didn't go much of anywhere. They turned back to James and they were able to give him a lie detector test, to which he failed. According to the detective on Disappeared, he failed miserably. So they continue questioning James, and they get cell phone records for both Tracy and him. And his cell phone records essentially matched exactly what he said. Left the bar, drove in her car. The pings showed that it followed him all the way home. Well, Tracy's did the same thing, except that her phone kept pinging until about 8 a.m.
From where?
From James's home, or the area that his home is in. Now, I also struggle with this a little bit, too, because this is what police really honed in on. And at a certain point, James stopped talking and he got a lawyer and he remained silent. Now, her car was found kind of down the street from James's home. So while I agree that it seems fishy, I'm not sure if we can say how accurate cell phone pings were in 2009. Could it have been that her phone was pinging until 8 a.m. by her car?
Wait, but where was her phone ever found?
So the next thing that I was going to tell you was that she disappeared and her phone has disappeared with her.
So for that, for me, debunks your theory. Because she's not going to be with her car unless you're saying like the person took her and then went back and got her phone.
I'm not really sure. All I'm saying is it's plausible to believe that she left his house completely fine.
Yes. Okay. That's
never
plausible.
Got as far. She could have pulled over. She could have went to a gas station. I don't know. I mean, probably not. They would have gotten surveillance, I would think and hope. But I'm just saying, if I were a defense attorney, I could probably poke holes in that.
Agreed.
So he basically locked down at that point, and that's who police were really looking at, and they had really strong suspicions about. But they were actually, at this point, never able to get any more evidence that they needed or any more out of him in regards to what had happened, talking more about Tracy. So he did end up on the news that week with who they were investigating and stuff. And what happened after this was very interesting. So a woman named Rachel sees him on the news and she immediately recognizes James. She calls the police and she tells them that about a year prior, she was at a bar and he had asked her for a ride home and she obliged as well. When they were driving, he suddenly just dove over and started strangling her.
What?
And I don't know how she did it or if it was just a stroke of luck, for lack of better words, but she was able to escape out of the vehicle. Now, she was driving. I don't know how she did that, but she did. And she started running, and he chased her down and began to choke her or punch her or something at that point, too. She screamed out, neighbors heard, but he got away. She ended up filing a report, and by the way, this is not in the same county, so I don't think this was easy access information that they would have had even if they could. But anyway, they were never able to find him. And it wasn't until she saw him on TV that she was like, oh my God, that's him. I will say she filed a report, if I didn't say that.
You did. And that makes it valid for me.
Right, right. So she called and she was like, yes, this really happened. And of course, police are like, all right, now we're looking at something here. We're looking at maybe a trend. But, you know, he's not talking and he's lawyered up. And they really have nothing else to bring to the table, you know, in order to get him to talk. So they were able to file those charges or follow up on those charges, reopen her case. And he was convicted of that crime because they were able to call it attempted murder. So he is serving a life sentence in prison. But since then, he has said, I have no idea what happened to Tracy, and has remained tight-lipped ever since. I think there have been other reports of behaviors like this from him and other questionable links to crimes involving him. But as of right now, we have no evidence to support that she's even dead. Although, you know, even the family will say we can see how it might look that way. And while we have a little hope because she's our daughter, we know that's probably likely. It's probably likely that she's passed. So we don't have any idea where her body, her phone could be, and nothing significant has come up. You'll see her name pop up in articles when there's been human remains found, and people will say, is it Tracy or is it Jennifer Kessie or something? And it turns out not to be, as we know. But that's really the extent of the news that has occurred since her disappearance. Now, the link to Jennifer Kessie is that there is an article I found, first off, that states that Jennifer Kessie did at least occasionally go to the bar, the same bar that Tracy did.
Yes.
So if that's true, then the odds of this guy James being there are pretty significant, I think. It's also, she worked in Ocoee. So if he was born and raised in Ocoee, so if they were to have cross paths at any point, it would not be unusual at all. But I found myself going back to that surveillance footage from Jennifer Kessie's apartment complex or condo complex. Yep.
the luckiest person in the whole world.
Yeah, right. And I've watched it over and over again. Didn't help. I don't know why I thought it would. I know everyone else has done the same thing I did. But I had to see for myself, of course. And nothing. So we're kind of down to, in my opinion, honestly, and this differs from other people's, and I understand that, to about three theories. And I know it's like, how could you possibly have theories? This looks so bad for this guy. And I get it. And I'm not even going to hold out to the end till saying, to me, that's the most likely.
See, give me your theories first.
Okay. So there is leaving her life.
No way.
Because it did come up. You know, people have wondered that. But, you know, I'm not really sold on that because she had a comfortable life with her parents. She was free to kind of do what she wanted. She was living rent-free. She was making plans and doing things.
And you don't do it from a bar, like, after watching your team win.
Doesn't seem that way to me, right? Like, I don't know. Doesn't really fit for me. She seemed
me
like
either.
Things were going well for her. The second theory is, and I have not even seen this on the Reddit, of course, but I know she's older. She'd be 27 at the time. But I thought of sex trafficking. She looks young.
She does look young.
And there have been other disappearances of young women in the area. Jennifer is not the only one. Tracy is not the only one. Florida is a hub for sex trafficking. So, yes, my head does go there 100%. Or even a combined theory of, is James involved in sex trafficking somehow? And then the third theory, of course, is James is responsible for her disappearance and probable death.
Okay. I mean, we don't need to discuss leaving her life. I don't think it happened. Done.
I don't think so, and I don't think she died by suicide or anything like that. She was on cloud nine, and actually that is a time that people also are known to die by suicide. No mental health struggles that I read about. She broke off her engagement, but she seemed like she was wanting to mingle, making plans to go to school. All of those things, yes, do not say no. Someone will not be, you know, ending their life. But I haven't heard anything sway me the other way either.
Right. So for me, I think sex trafficking on this case is like a 5% chance.
So you're giving it a chance.
I mean, I guess to be nice to you.
So tell me why, though.
Because she's like, what time of night was it?
1:30 in the morning. Or, 1:30 in the morning.
Okay. Someone that's doing sex trafficking is not looking for 27-year-old woman coming out of a bar. They're looking for 18, 19, or even younger.
So I agree with everything that you said about a 27-year-old woman coming out of a bar. But I think if it was anywhere else, it wouldn't matter the time if there was opportunity.
Okay, but if it was, that guy James would have to be involved because a sex trafficker isn't going to grab her when she's walking out of the bar with a guy.
Right. That's valid too. Yep, you're right.
So let's talk about James.
So I did bring up sex trafficking, but I will have you know that even though it's on my radar, I give it about the same percentage as you, to be honest.
Okay, good.
But I just don't ever forget the possibility. A big indicator to me is location sometimes, like known interstates, well-populated areas. Most of the time for me, it's the age of the victim. In this case, she's 27, but I did take into account she looked young. So, yeah, it did come to mind. But I agree with you with those points. So, James. Well, hang on. Actually, before I get to James, police were really not invested in that confrontation that Tracy had with that gentleman and that woman. Would you agree with police? You know, I didn't hear too much after that. If you read articles, James is the only name that comes up, not this other couple.
Was the fight the same day?
No.
Then no. Yes, I agree with the police. If something would have happened that day, I could see it. But I don't think they're going to go back.
I mean, I guess I would too, because I just feel like if a fight had occurred, would they really be going after someone to go kill them. I feel like
no,
they'd probably go for another beatdown or a beatdown, but not that.
Yeah, no, this does nothing for, no.
And I assume you're feeling just as if there's too much pointing at James to look at that too close.
So for me, the thing about James is I completely understand why they haven't charged him. Because I could never convict him right now. Here's why. What happened those hours? So let's say that it's James. They pull into his road or down the street from his house. He leans over and strangles her. She goes off the road. Her car stops. She dies. Then what happens? He carries her to his house. He calls an Uber. Like, then what?
Okay, so let's say they get to his driveway, okay? I mean, I would think he would want to strangle someone while they're driving or driving slow so he can have control, but let's just pretend that he's close enough to his house and he gets the car in his driveway and he strangles her in the car. Well, then perhaps he brings her inside and then he goes and moves her car. And being that it's in a close vicinity to his home, he can walk back to his house.
And then what? The next day, he gets rid of the body?
I would think that, yeah. I don't know his...
If he knows the car is that close to his house, he can't want to hang on to it for that long. What I wanted... I just went and looked, and it was only a few hundred yards from his house.
That's so insane to me.
So I can't imagine he would have wanted to keep the body, assuming that's what he did, in his house for very long. When did police first go interrogate him?
I don't remember the exact day, but it was within 5 days. So they didn't really start to panic until 7 p.m. on the day that she went missing. And, you know, that means essentially the same day, but it's the day after if we look at it. It's the middle of the night disappearance that we hate, you know?
Yep.
So it was almost 24 hours later. So they had 4 days to figure out who it was, locate him, and start questioning him. But I think if this guy is skilled, and perhaps he's done this before, because if he strangled Rachel a year before, and he was so bold to do that, I don't think that was his first rodeo.
And not only that, if he strangled her and it didn't work, and that was his first time, nothing ever would have happened again.
Or at least he would be very careful to make sure that he had a completely different method to make sure that he got it done.
Yes.
But either way, I don't think that was the first time that he did it. So I think he's like, well, no one's going to look for her until at minimum, like late tomorrow morning. So I think it's plausible that he walked back home, he transported the body somehow into the swamps or wherever in Florida, because I think that, unfortunately, in Florida, there are a lot of places where you can dispose of a body. And that, for me, is likely what happened.
Yeah, there's a huge lake right by this whole area. But that's not my question. What you said was, he did it. Her car ended up wherever it ended up. So you're saying he drove her car to dispose of the body?
No, I think he immediately got her out of the car. He took her car and parked it where it ended up being found. I think that was the first thing that he did.
Okay, so walk me through it and tell me where she is at every point.
You know what? Maybe not, because he would have to risk getting DNA everywhere else. Like,
right,
in his vehicle or something. So maybe he did take her car, dispose of her body, and then he went and parked it and walked home.
But he couldn't have.
Why not?
Because her phone was in the area until 8 a.m.
He could have left his phone there, and he could have left her phone there, too, and disposed of her phone later.
So they're driving. He strangles her.
Yep.
He just, pushes her out of the passenger seat into the pushes her out of the driver's seat into the passenger seat. He starts driving.
Perhaps. Sure.
Well, I'm trying to process, like, what you're saying, because then, from there, he goes and disposes of the body and keeps the cell phone. But he has to have disposed of the body in the area that her phone was pinging, because her phone didn't leave that area.
Unless they get to the driveway, he strangles her. He takes her body, disposes of it, comes back to move the car, and discovers her phone is still in the car, and he has to dispose of that.
But not until 8 a.m.?
No, because he is at risk of being seen parking a car, because I don't care where you are or what season it is, at 8 a.m., it's light out.
Exactly. So it's 1:30 in the morning. They're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you guys something as the audience. Let me back up. Hold on. I'll tell them after. So it's 1:30 in the morning. They're driving. He reaches over and strangles her.
Mm-hmm.
Are they close to his house?
I think so.
Okay. So then he pushes her into the passenger seat. He starts driving.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying he goes and disposes of the body, right?
Perhaps.
And then he drives back to ditch the car and searches it, discovers her phone is still in it, and now it's, let's say it's 3 in the morning, right? It's been 90 minutes, this whole ordeal. He just keeps it on in his hand for 5 hours?
No, and I can't believe he'd be that stupid if he would think of a cell phone, I think, right?
I mean, if we think this is not his first rodeo, yeah. And I can't imagine he would ditch the body within the radius of the cell phone to his house.
But the other option is that he brought her in the house. And could he be so stupid as to risk her DNA evidence in his house?
Have they searched it?
Yes, I believe they have.
No, I mean, so then I'm going to end up with, I want to know, do we know his address? What street? We can cut this if we do.
They did say what street it was on the disappeared episode, but I did not take note.
Okay. So, guys, we wouldn't have said his address. My curiosity is, how busy is this street? And here's my thought process. Regardless of what we think happened, likely, if he did it, somewhere near his house at between 1:30 and 5 in the morning, he was moving a body inside of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was either carrying it from the car to the house, carrying it from car to car, or moving it from the driver's seat to the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And that I struggle with. That's really risky.
Our other alternate scenario is, Tracy just happens to go home with a guy that has strangled a girl before and almost murdered her. But he decides he's a changed man and doesn't do that. But then she drops him off kindly and leaves and pulls over or goes to a store or gets near her home and is attacked by someone else that has sinister motives. And then the car ends up mysteriously by his house.
I mean,
that seems unbelievable to me, too.
Okay, let's be real for a second. And again, if this case is solved or Tracy is found or James is exonerated in some way, we will pull our episode down. But, like, let's be real. James did it. What I'm looking for is the case in court that'll actually convict him. Because I don't think they have enough.
I don't either. Well, hence why I don't think they've tried.
Yeah, I don't know how they'd even get an arrest warrant, truthfully, because all they're going to say is her phone was near his house. Well, so was her car. She drove him
home. And a defense attorney will be like, well, he admitted to you that they were in the car together and she dropped him off.
Which means I don't think she ever left her car alive. Because he could explain his DNA in her car.
Exactly.
He can't explain her DNA in his.
And I think maybe he tries to strangle women while they're driving because they won't struggle as much because they're torn between making sure they don't crash the car and making sure that they live. So someone who's being strangled is literally trying to fight off someone and hold the wheel and whatever, right?
Right.
It's the same as catching someone in a defenseless position. So I do think it's possible to discover the car and see literally no signs of a struggle. I still don't know how he would have done it. And I still don't know where he could have put her.
Well, the where concerns me less because there are bodies of water, and unfortunately in Florida, there are gators. The how he did it is what I want to know.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I can't make sense of that time window. And if I can't even drop a pin in the middle of it to explain anything, there's no way anyone can ever pin it on him.
I don't disagree with you.
You want to open it up?
I do. I want to say and remind you guys that he is in prison for attempted murder. So he is paying some of his dues. But, you know, that is not enough
for... But not for Tracy.
That not for Tracy. But the family needs their daughter recognized. And they want to know essentially where she is or what happened to her. So they can have some type of... Peace even seems insensitive to say. But some type of closure so they don't have to wonder. So that's where things stand. But there you have it. Please let us know your thoughts. If you have an idea of how you think he got away with it, not even got away with it, but like accomplished this and make it make sense, let us know, because I surely do not.
I want someone to be the prosecution and let me be his lawyer and see if we can get a lockdown what happened.
Yes. Thank you to Kelly and Kelly for this case.
Yes. And we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.